All right, so Psalm 54, I'm going to go back, we'll go back in the Old Testament, and we'll put this thing in context. So let's go back over to 1 Samuel chapter 23 and see what in the world is happening with David here. 1 Samuel chapter 23, because the psalm is, as David says, it was when the Ziphims basically rat him out and tell Saul where he's at. 1 Samuel chapter 23. You've got some interesting stuff in all the chapter here. I'll just give you a rundown of the whole thing here. In verse 1, it says, "Then they told David, saying, Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah. They rob the threshing floors. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go and smite the Philistines, these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. And David's men said unto him, Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered him and said, Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And it came to pass when Abiathar the son of Ahimelech fled to David to Keilah that he came down with an ephod in his hand." All right, I'm going to stop there and just give you the rundown of the rest of this chapter. So David saves Keilah from, and the people of Keilah from the Philistines. Then Abiathar comes in, he brings this ephod, the priest's garments, and Saul is still hunting David in the midst of all this, just crazy. And David's going to ask the Lord, do I need to stay in Keilah, or do I need to go? What's going to happen here? And so, let's see. Look in verse 9. David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him, and he said to Abiathar the priest, Bring hither the ephod. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down, and the servant, as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, He will come down. Then said David, Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, They will deliver thee. Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David escaped from Keilah, and he forbear to go forth. All right, so David saves Keilah and the town from the Philistines. Saul continues to pursue David. David asks the Lord, Do I need to stay here, or if I stay here, are these men going to rat me out to Saul? And the Lord says, they'll tell Saul where you're at. And David says, Well, if I stay here, will they kill me? Will Saul come kill me? And the Lord says, Yeah, you'll be killed. And so after the Lord has given David this prophecy, which, you know, he's given him this information, David says, okay, well then, let's leave. I'm not going to stay here. If this is what's going to happen here, then I'm leaving. So he takes the men, they go into the wilderness, and they hide from Saul. Saul continues to pursue. And look down in verse 19, because this is where your psalm shows up. Then came up the Ziphites to Saul, to Gibeah, saying, Doth not David hide himself with us in strongholds in the wood in the hill of Hakaliah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul, to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hands. And Saul said, Blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have compassion on me. Blessed be ye of the Lord. These people aren't blessed of the Lord. Verse 22, Go, I pray you, prepare yet and know and see his place where his haunt is. And that's a good word there. Where his haunt is. And who hath seen him there? For it is told me that he dealeth very subtly. So David takes these men after inquiring of the Lord if he should stay in Keilah. And the Lord says, well, if you stay there, the men will give you up and you'll die in Keilah. So David says, okay, we're leaving Keilah. So he leaves, goes out in the wilderness, gets away from them, goes into the forest there. And these Ziphites or Ziphims or people of Ziph here, they go to Saul and they volunteer information, and they say to Saul, because I guess they want to be on Saul's good side and they don't see that God's going to do anything with David. So they go tell Saul, hey, Saul, David is hiding in the woods. We know where he is. And so if you follow us, we'll show you where he's at. And so this is where David's prayer in Psalm 54 shows up, because David's about to be surrounded by all of Saul's men. And he doesn't really have a way of escape. And so he just asks the Lord, because he is going to be pinned down where he's at, because these Ziphites decided, for whatever reason, they're just going to rat David out. So David will be surrounded. He won't be able to get away. And so in Psalm 54, that prayer that David records, that's the prayer he makes to God. He says, save me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, by thy strength, and all those things. Hear my prayer, O Lord. And these strangers have come against me, which were the Ziphites, just these people that don't know you, and they're not really interested in anything you're doing. But Lord, save me, because of you're the one that's called me to do this work. You're the one that's called me to be king. And if I die, it'll just look like, you know, you called the wrong guy or something. You just called me out and then you killed me. And so David bases his prayer on what the Lord has already stamped his name and his approval on David's life, and said David's going to be king. And that's pretty well known at this time. Saul knows it for sure. That's why Saul's after him. And a lot of people know it too. And so David's request and his prayer is made on the basis of the Lord's own name. He says, you know, Lord, you put your name on this, and, you know, if I die in these woods, then it's just going to look like you just brought me out here to die. Not because I'm anything, not because I'm special or anything, but because you've already approved the plan. You've already decided what you would like to do. And if I end up dying with all these men, it's not going to look good on, based on your name, what you've already said you want to do. So David makes this prayer, and that's the first thing I want you to notice about this psalm, is the appeal is based on the name of the Lord. And that's one thing we'll look at. But look back over here in Psalm 54, and I want to deal with one particular aspect of this before we get to this appeal. Psalm 54, where he says this, the very first few words here. David says in Psalm 54:1, save me, O God, by thy name. So David is surrounded. He doesn't have any way out of this thing. And so his request to be saved is not like your request for, you know, to save your soul or to stay out of hell. David's trying to survive. He's trying not to be physically killed is what he's asking here. So this salvation is not exactly like salvation of your soul and things like that. This is a prayer to physically be saved, to physically be delivered out of the hands of these enemies. And it's a similar salvation that you'll find in like Matthew 24:13, where he talks about he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And he talks about if the days weren't shortened, no flesh would be saved. That's all describing a physical salvation. And so not all salvation, I would say this, and it's not on a study on this, but not all salvations in the Bible are equal. They're not all exactly the same thing. They don't all describe the exact same thing that's going on. This particular salvation has to do with David just physically staying alive. And so when he says, save me, O God, by thy name, judge me by thy strength, hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. Strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them, Selah. So that's the first part of his prayer. And I'll say this again before we mention the appeal based on the name of the Lord. Oftentimes in these psalms, David will have the prayer request at the beginning and then the answer will be at the end. And so he'll record both. He'll record the prayer, and he'll record how the thing gets answered at the end, which you'll see in this one too. So first thing, after all that, first thing, the appeal is based on the name of the Lord. The Lord's chosen David to be Saul's successor. That much is known. If David dies in the hands of Saul, it will appear that God was just unable to protect the man he chose to be king. And that's the basis of David's appeal, is the name of the Lord. Let me show you a couple of verses about the name of the Lord. Look over in Proverbs chapter 18. The name of the Lord. Proverbs 18 and verse 10. Proverbs 18, verse 10. A good proverb here. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower." Now, the reason that's said is because God is going to protect his name. If he puts his name on something, he wants to protect that thing. So the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And that's exactly what David's trying to do. David's not asking God to save him because David's a good man. David's not asking God to save him because he's sinless. David's asking God to save him because his name is on David's life. And if David is killed in the woods, so much for the king. So that's David's basis for appeal. I'll show you another time this happens in the Bible. Look over in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel does the same thing. Daniel chapter 9, this is Daniel's prayer. Daniel chapter 9, verse 5. Daniel makes a confession. And when Daniel asks the Lord to do something, he's not going to ask based on his own righteousness or his own goodness or how great a person he is or his official title within the Babylonian kingdom here or in the Persian kingdom here. But his confession is this. Daniel 9, verse 5, he says, "We have sinned and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land." Skip down to verse 16. Watch the basis of what he's going to ask here. "O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us." Notice he keeps reminding the Lord, your name is on all this. Your name is on this city. Your name is on these people. Verse 17, "Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake." That's the basis, for the Lord's sake. Verse 18, "O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations in the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name." When Daniel begs God to give him some information to help him understand what is going on, and Daniel confesses for the nation the sin of the people, And again, begs God to understand what is going on, how much longer is this judgment going to take place. Daniel's basis for asking is just like David's. Lord, your name is all over these things. Because of your righteousness, because it's your city, because these are your people, because you are a part of all of this, and for your sake, Lord, that's the basis. Please answer this prayer. Please hear me. And I think about it with us today. You know, when you pray, when I pray, it's number one, it's a privilege to be able to pray. It's a privilege to be able to come before God's throne and make requests, and that is a privilege granted to people based on, according to Hebrews, based on what the Lord Jesus Christ did. So God doesn't hear people, hear you and me, because we've lived such great lives and we got this thing to offer and we're very intelligent people, and so Lord, you should really take into consideration what I'm saying. The basis for any prayer request is the Lord's own sake. That's why Jesus Christ says, he says, when you ask in my name, God the Father will listen based on me. You and I, we're nothing. We don't have anything to offer, but he'll listen if you come in my name. That's the basis, the name of the Lord. And it gets more specific in the New Testament, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's more specific. So David's appeal is based on the name of the Lord. Number two, back over here, and there's only 2 points to this, but the second part of this psalm, back over here in Psalm 54, says this. This is kind of the answer to it. Psalm 54, verse 4. David says this. Behold, God is mine helper. That to be in the position David is in at this point, and to really believe what he's saying, God is my helper. David believes that. Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies, cut them off in thy truth. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. Meaning the name of the Lord is good. And it says that in Proverbs. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Now I'll say a few things about that name. You find out in the New Testament, the name is Jesus Christ. That's the name that God would pour everything into, all of his blessings, all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily, every good thing God would pour into Jesus Christ. And that would be the name that you would have to go to. He says over there, and I think it's in Acts, he says there's none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby men must be saved. When Jesus Christ is named, he says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Again, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And then this one, I'll give you this one, Philippians chapter 2, which you probably know. But Philippians chapter 2, about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is a good name, and the basis for all prayer, and the basis for anything God would do. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Because Jesus Christ did what he did, he has this name that God has highly exalted. Philippians 2:9 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We can do a lot more on that name. It's interesting, that name, Jesus Christ, that name brings shame to people. Don't want to say that name out loud. It's okay to say God, but Jesus Christ, that's a different thing. I believe in God, okay. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's a different thing. Jesus Christ's name used as a curse word. And it's interesting, and you guys understand it. I mean, Muhammad's name is not used as a curse word. But Buddha is not used as a curse. Oh, Buddha. Oh, Muhammad. That doesn't have anything to it. But Jesus Christ does. That name is something else, because that man is someone else. I mean, it's something. And so when David prays, of course, David doesn't know the name Jesus Christ, but he does know God's put his name on his own life. And so he asks God on the basis of his own stamp of approval, Lord, please answer this prayer. You've given me some promises, and I just pray that you'd help me in this situation, because your name is on this. And if I die in these woods, I mean, I'm sure you can come up with another plan, but, you know, you've asked me to be king. You want me to be king. So, Lord, based on your name on this, please help me. And then in the New Testament, that name is Jesus Christ. So, back to David. He's surrounded. There's no way for David to get out. So now we're going to see the answer to this prayer. How in the world does David get out of this? He's trapped in the woods. He is surrounded by Saul and all his men. And Saul is going to, if he can, man, he's going to tear David up. So look over in 1 Samuel 23 and let's see how this thing ends. See if the Lord answers this prayer or not. See how it ends. 1 Samuel 23 and verse 27. I'll tell you what, look in verse 25. 1 Samuel 23:25. Let's see how the Lord ends up answering this prayer. Verse 25, 1 Samuel 23:25, Saul also and his men went to seek him, and they told David wherefore he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon, and Saul went on this side of the mountain, David and his men on that side of the mountain, and David made haste to get away for fear of Saul. For Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take him. David surrounded. So how in the world does he get out of this mess? Watch. Verse 27. But there came a messenger unto Saul, saying, Haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Therefore they called that place Selah Hama something. That's what they called it. And David went up from thence and dwelt in the strongholds of En-Gedi. So David, surrounded by Saul, begs God in Psalm 54. He writes that prayer down. He records it. The first part of Psalm 54, 1 through 3, where David begs God to intervene and save his life. And then in the second part of that psalm, David's prayer is answered, and this is how it's answered. After Saul has surrounded David, Saul gets a message. And it's an urgent message, and it says, you got to come fight these Philistines. They've showed up in Israel, and you got to come do something about it. And so Saul has to remove himself from pursuing David and deal with the problem he never was willing to deal with. And so he leaves, and of course David escapes from that situation. And I wish I had more application to it. Maybe you guys can think of some more application to it. But that situation and that message was what God used to answer David's prayer. David wasn't getting out of that until this messenger shows up with this urgent, urgent message that says, Saul, you've got to get over here. The Philistines have invaded the land. And Saul is forced to leave David and all of that. God moved all those pieces And again, I wish I had more application for you. But Saul's urgent need to go address a problem he was unwilling to ever address. God would use this unfinished business to intervene, to answer David's prayer, and remove Saul from that situation so David could go free. That's how the Lord answered the prayer. He used these enemies, and he used this urgent news to go and take Saul from this place to that place. And it's interesting to see the hand of the Lord. Now, if you just read 1 Samuel 23, you don't get the Psalm 54 part where David prays and God answers that prayer. You just read through there and here's Saul surrounding David, and all of a sudden this message shows up out of the blue and says, hey, we've got to go deal with these Philistines. And if you just read 1 Samuel 23, that's just what you get. But Psalm 54 kind of puts this thing in perspective and brings God into the picture and shows what David was doing, and David's asking God to save him. And so these events are being coordinated now. I should say this event is being coordinated by God because David has asked God to show up and do something. David can't get out of this thing on his own. And so the Lord shows up and he uses the messenger and he uses the Philistines, people that should not have even been in the land to begin with. And he uses all that to take Saul out of the picture and get David free. And so interesting thing. You've got David's, you know, that's 1 Samuel 23, just to give you a recap of this thing. David is fighting wars Saul should have been fighting. David is doing things Saul wasn't willing to do. David goes over there and frees these men of Keilah, frees the town of Keilah from the Philistines. Saul wasn't going to do that. And then for doing that good thing, the people of Keilah would turn on David, and they would give him up to Saul. They're afraid of Saul. And then David runs into the woods to flee Saul, and then these Ziphims, the people of Ziph, they decide they're going to voluntarily just rat out David. And I mean, he just can't get a break, and he's trying to fight the battles that Saul was unwilling to fight. I mean, can you imagine? This is what he's trying to do, and trying to do good for the nation while being hunted by the king of the nation. I mean, it's incredible. David's life is something else. It is something else. But Psalm 54 is a record of a prayer David makes and the answer to that prayer. And you can take that psalm and put it right back into 1 Samuel 23 and give you a perspective about some of these events that happen. They aren't just events that happen. Sometimes the Lord is moving things, and when he's asked to intervene, he'll intervene, and he'll use people when he intervenes. And that's what he does. He uses this messenger, he uses these Philistines, and forces Saul's hand so Saul can't do what he wanted to do with David. So that's an interesting thing, an interesting perspective on it. You see the Lord answering prayer, the Lord hearing prayers, and based on, of course, David's appeal is based on the Lord's name and the Lord's sake and all that kind of thing. And so the Lord answers those prayers, and that's a good thing.